I have eyes to see. Even the unseen realm. I need to see it's real. I have eyes that really comprehend. That what I don't see is still real. My ears will hear. And I will hear your word. Sometimes in awkward places. But it will keep me in training. So that I can pass the test. And be blessed. And my ears are now wide open. For your instructions. My heart is perceiving. This message is for me. Amen? First Peter, chapter 2. I'm going to be brief. Verse 9. First Peter, chapter 2. Not this Peter, the other guy. But you are a chosen people. I repeat, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world, or in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You are a chosen royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? Now, what does a priest do? Ministers. This morning, I was pressed to grab this book because it's been sitting in my briefcase because I thought I was going to have time with my holiday. But there was no time. This morning, as I got into my office, I heard you need to grab that book because your lesson is in there.
Teacher.
Page 64. Those of you who don't know about George H. Warnock, he was the spiritual father to one of my spiritual fathers. And also a very anointed teacher. So I want to expound about King David, who's exercising, he is a king now, remember, but he's exercising priesthood. 1 Samuel 23, verse 6. 1 Samuel 23, verse 6. And though David was not a priest, he had the heart of a priest. And on many occasions, he exercised priestly prerogatives. Even doing, even going so far as to erect the tabernacle of David on Mount Zion, where he, as king of Israel, might have priestly communion with God. And stand before the Ark of the Covenant. In all this, he was a beautiful type of forerunner of Christ who would reign as a priest upon the throne. Therefore, when David stood in need of direct, explicit instructions from God as to his own preservation and as to the battles he must wage, that's where you learn to stand, he had access to the ephod. If you don't know what the ephod is, it's the 12 tribes in stone form in a breastplate. God honored his prayer and gave clear directions as to the way he should go using that ephod. God warned him that Saul would come down to Keilah searching for him, and so they must leave. 1 Samuel 23, verse 9 through 13. Again, when the enemy had smitten the camp where David and his men were living and took away much spoil, David asked God what to do. And God told him specifically, pursue. In other words, go after. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Amen. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. There was nothing in the scripture that could give him the counsel he needed for this specific occasion. But God gave him clear, direct, infallible direction. And David won a great victory. David, though officially a king, also functioned as a priest. How could it be otherwise? For he was a man after God's own heart. We have many volunteers for kingly power, but few there are who have hearts of meekness, humility, mercy, patience, long-suffering, after the heart of God. After the heart of God. Pause for a moment. You've heard each one of you declaring the status of your Thanksgiving week or days. You've heard each one of the diversified ways that you could function with clear instructions when you submitted to the Lord. There was a day where you didn't submit to him. You did your own thing and survived and blamed. And you could blame yourself, blame the neighbor, blame your relative, blame your enemy. Not one of you had a blame word this morning. Not one of you. Amen. Come on. Amen. Not Amen. One of us complained. Amen. We were in training. Come on, try it on. Say, I was in training.
I was in training.
And he's not done training me.
And he's not done training me.
Okay. So when David brought back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, it should have been placed in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. Notice, should have. The law said, but did he obey the law? No. But David put it in a new tabernacle that he had constructed for the new kingdom that prefigured the Melchizedek order. A kingdom of priesthood, of righteousness and peace. And when the ark was returning, he put off his royal garments and put on a priestly robe of fine linen and an ephod. Priestly ministry unto the Lord was more important to him than kingly power and authority. 1 Chronicles 15:27. 1 Chronicles 15:27. I repeat. And when the ark was returning, he put off the royal garments and put on a priestly robe of fine linen and an ephod. Priestly ministry unto the Lord was more important to him than kingly power and authority. Digest that truth. No wonder the daughter of Saul, who was raised in royal splendor and had married a king, despised him in her heart. To see the king of Israel abasing himself to the level of a humble priest in Israel. God had a clear and pure word for his people. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they had observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Deuteronomy 33, verses 8 and 9. These were a holy people, totally committed to the Lord, set apart entirely unto the service of the sanctuary. There could be no human interference in their devotion to God. No relationship with brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, or children could have precedence over their service to God. Nothing could distract them from their all-consuming desire to observe God's word and keep his covenant. Like the disciples of Christ, they must forsake all if they would truly follow the Lord. And if they would truly be their master, they had no inheritance that they could call their own. Nothing that they could leave for their children except the holy calling of the priestly service. The Urim and Thummim, by which Eleazar would divide the land of Canaan, would designate nothing for the priestly tribe, even though Eleazar himself was a member of that tribe. The Urim and Thummim were not something he could manipulate for his own advantage, for his own honor and glory. They would have cities to dwell in, and their needs would all be taken care of. But they were special to God, and God was special to them. Wherefore Levi hath no part in their inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Deuteronomy 10:9. A clear, pure word would pour forth from their lips because they feared and trembled before God, because they observed his word and kept his covenant. Urim and Thummim will not function in a rebellious heart. Urim and Thummim will not function in a rebellious heart. When Saul walked in disobedience, Urim and Thummim was silent. And he could find no direction from God. When he saw the armies of the Philistines melting away in confusion, he called for the ark of God and the priests to see what was going on. But nothing happened. Consequently, he went ahead and acted according to his own best judgment. God was giving Jonathan a great victory, but Saul took the credit for it. And to seal his own authority, he put the people under tight control and denied them access to the honey that flowed from the tree of the wood. See 1 Samuel 14. The time came when the heavens were silent and the Lord answered him not. neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. 1 Samuel 28:6. God said his Urim and Thummim were for his Holy One. It is not for self-willed and rebellious. It is for a people who walk in truth and who tremble at his word. It is God's provision in the hour of apostasy. This might seem a strange word right now.
No, it's perfect.
Hear me when I say this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and you're fighting between the kingly and the priestly, and the fight's coming down to obedience. You are to function in both places. You are to function under his anointing and under his direction. And when you do, there will be a training that may not be comfortable, but it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit in the most unlikely places where you will say, this is the Lord's doing and my head's on my way. It's not going the way I think it should be, but I'm going to survive because I know this is the way. The way is Jesus by his Spirit inside of each and every one of us. We did not receive the Holy Spirit to satisfy ourselves. You receive the Holy Spirit so that he will guide you like the Urim and Thummim. In that day, they had a direct instruction from him. We have the same instruction in a higher form. A higher form. We're walking on a different plane than they did. We have instructions daily, hourly, as needed, to take us where he wants us to go. We are not without clear words from Holy Spirit when you need it most. Now I want you to lift both hands to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, it's about time I get more serious with you. I have ears that hear.
I have
eyes that see. And my heart is perceiving. You truly are talking to me.
This royal priesthood
is a part of my future.
Everywhere I go,
you will give me instructions.
You will guide me.
You will counsel me.
You will comfort me.
And I will make it to the finish line on time.
And the solution
is to give me
mercy.
And to give myself mercy.
I give mercy to others, but not much to me.
That's changing today.
Right now, I declare.
Mercy will rule.
Out of my heart,
to myself first,
before I give it to neighbors.
I've got to give it to me.
That's who Jesus died for.
Me first.
Look at your neighbor. Say, he died for me.
He died for me.
And he died for you. But he died it for me first.
That's the truth.
Come on up. And he will raise me up. Yes, he will raise me up. Yes, yes, he will raise me up. On the last day, yes, he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up on the last day.
Yes,
yes, he will raise.
Yes,
he
will raise me up.
On this very day.
On this very day.
Do it again.
Yes, he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up.
Father, we bow before you and we say, Holy Spirit, what you gave us when you said, every time you take bread, every time you pour out the cup, it was so that we could come alive in a higher level than we've ever known. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to counsel and comfort us and to heal the wounds in those that are still struggling. For so many, so many right now are struggling out there. And I lift up Michael in a very special way, as Stephanie and the baby, because you know what's going on. You know the tests they're in. You know the ones that I hold in my heart, Lord. Say it with me. You know the ones,
you know the ones
that I'm holding in my heart.
You have a plan.
You have a plan. And it's for me to serve.
And it's for me to serve.
And to intercede.
And to intercede.
And to lift them up.
And to lift them up.
They're going to be lifted up right now.
They're going to be lifted up right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
They will not fail.
They will not fail.
Because of my priestly obedience.
Because of my priestly obedience.
I lift them up right now.
I lift them up right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
They are being lifted.
They are being lifted.
Even as I speak and sing.
Even as I speak.
Your grace to them.
Your grace to them.
I shout more grace to them.
I shout more grace to them.
More grace, Lord.
More grace, Lord.
And you will raise them up. Yes, you will raise them up. Yes, you will raise them up. Oh, on this very day.
On this very day.
Do it again. And you will raise them up. Yes, you will raise them up. And you will raise them up on this very day.
Father, my dear, to hear the tone of the Spirit, you know,
Scripture says that he was sliced open. It says in the Scriptures that even his bones were protruding out of his back. They were visible because of all of what he suffered. And sometimes we think we're really suffering. In reality, I don't think we understand the fullness of what he went through. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, the degree of pain that he went and suffered for us was for our healing. The reason I spread it open, and you're probably going to think I'm a little bit crazy right now, but this is something that is very true. The mercy seat reveals what's inside that God didn't want to see anymore because it represented the rebellion. There's a part of our bodies that are sometimes rebelling against us. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. I stretched open the body of our Savior Jesus. And some of you, I know for sure, you've got a knee problem, right?
Yeah. I think somebody else I know has a knee problem. If I had a knee problem, which I don't have, I would take from the knee the part of the flesh, and I would take it in obedience. And I'm going to take it in obedience because, you see, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had a real lamb out there. The lamb was sliced open and literally put on a spigot and cooked. Okay? The blood was set apart. They put the blood on the doorpost. Think about that as the real truth of what the Passover means. All of the death angel could not enter those homes. And everyone that was in that home was set free. It also says that every Israelite left Egypt without a sickness or a disease. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. What is wrong with the church? Why do we walk out like we walked in? You see, unbelief is ruling in most of the Christian church. I'm not accusing. I'm just telling you the fruits are there. If they really believe that this is a piece of his knee that he suffered and died for, then I don't need to suffer anymore. And I can say to that demon, you can leave me now. Because the torment that you've had is no longer allowed to remain in my body. Okay?
Okay.
I had a sore toe the other day. Okay? And I kept trying to adjust my sneaker. And the Lord said, what are you doing? Was it the sneaker's fault? Was there something that wanted me to have pain? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's the author of pain, suffering, and death? Mm-hmm. All right. If it isn't God, then who's the other? Amen? So it's time that we start being serious when we take communion. We are taking a part of what he suffered for and receiving it for ourselves. And we need to do it over and over and over until we believe it. Because there are times and places in my own life, it took me almost 3 years to get free of having to put the, I don't want to go there any further. Suffering in my body for nothing. Because I was accused and I was abused by the enemy. Okay? My battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. Come on, say it. My battle
is not against flesh and blood.
Therefore, my knee is not the problem.
Therefore, my knee is not the problem.
It's the enemy.
It's the enemy.
He is the problem.
He is the problem.
And why should I submit?
And why should I submit?
To his lies.
To his lies.
When I can reject them.
When I can reject them.
I can stand my ground.
I can stand my ground.
And I can say no more.
And I can say no more.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you right now that this is the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus said it was. Period. It's not complicated. He said, when you take this flesh and this bread, it is my flesh. He didn't say it might be. He said, it is my flesh. And if you take it, you will never die. Oh, there we go. How many people die? Yes, the flesh goes, but their spirit goes with the Lord. And they're very much alive on the other side. And like I told you, I heard last night, and I was jumping for joy. Okay, he's doing more on the other side for me than he could ever do with the limitations of the earthly garment on him. Okay, we're going to go one step further.
Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Those that are on the other side.
Those that are on the other side.
And believed in the Redeemer.
And believed in the Redeemer.
And they are on that word.
And they are on that word.
From the Father.
From the Father.
To be a part of my life.
To be a part of my life.
And to support me in ways.
And to support me in ways.
That I have no clue about.
That I have no clue about.
Lord, they're not dead.
Lord, they're not dead.
They receive the flesh and blood.
They receive the flesh and blood.
And they believed in the flesh and blood.
And they were set free
from the bondage of this earth suit.
From the bondage of this earth suit
that they had trouble with.
That they had trouble with.
That's why we call it death.
That's why we call it death.
The flesh died.
The flesh died.
But the spirit.
But the spirit
returns to the Father.
Returns to the Father.
And there.
And there.
They will receive instructions.
They will receive instructions.
And if they're instructed to help me, then I trust that they will be doing.
Then I trust that they will be doing
much more for me.
Much more for me
than they could ever do in the natural.
Than they could ever do in the natural.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for the cloud of witnesses.
I thank you for the cloud of witnesses.
I take this for the freedom. From our president and all those that he supports and those that he works with. I'm asking for a part of transitioning that's happening even in the body of Christ, where they will now start believing what the prophets spoke. And those prophets that are being laughed at, have mercy, Lord. Give them grace. In Jesus' name. For the parts of the church that don't believe, Father, I don't know how you're going to impact them. Some of them need a slap on the back of the head.
I'm not going to do it,
but I know what I would do if I was the one that was in charge. I know my nature. And I would say to them, wake up. What are you doing? You're laughing at God's prophets. They laughed at God's prophets for years and years, and Jesus showed up in a virgin. And it didn't make a damn bit of sense. But he came through and obeyed. And he was the prophet that really told us, stop bowing to darkness. Live in the light. Operate in the light. And the light would explode the darkness, and it will not rule. This is for Michael and Stephanie. And all those other young couples that I've ministered to over the years, bless them. Call them back in and heal them in Jesus' name. Last but not least, this is for my mind to transform into the mind of Christ more and more.
Yes.
I want more, Lord.
Yes.
I want more.
Yes,
Lord. It's yours.
Amen.